Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, the podcast where you two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 59, and we'll be talking about episode 14 of Mobile Suit Gundam Zeta, Amuro Flies Again, in which we learn that plot armor will in fact save the shit out of you. Come have a pure time and believe in the sign of Zeta. Zalala, Zalasalamel. Like I was doing that from memory, which
Hello,
is why.
Hello and
happened.
Welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom episode 14. I'm Chris.
I'm dying. This is my requiem. I'm back and I'm Fuzzy.
Hi, welcome back.
Done with that. No. Nope. Hold on. Need to...
Fair warning, everybody. This episode's pretty as fuck and has some really... like, the second half, really, really beautiful shots and scenes together. Like, it's romantic, or like... I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, my last words were, wow, this is gay.
Yeah, I literally, at the point where you said, wow, this is gay, I think I literally breathlessly said, like, I definitely said it out loud. I just don't know exactly how the context was. But in my head, it's a very breathless, like, holy shit. Yeah.
So Chris's third eye opened at the end of this episode. I've known for a while, but, like, I get stoned a lot, so all three of my eyes are kind of half-closed at this stage. It happens. Kids, don't do drugs. Or just do a lot of them.
Or, you know, do everything in moderation. Fuzzy.
That sounds fake. I wish I had a comedy bong next to me. Not like an actual bong I use, but just something that makes a bong noise.
Bong sound? I'll find one and edit it in. I probably will not. We'll see. I might. I've been in a really fucking good mood this week.
Good.
So if that
Channel
continues,
that.
If that continues, there may be a bong sound here. If there's not, either I'm in a bad mood or you know what? I just got fucking lazy.
That's understandable.
I edit a lot of
have
podcasts.
Nice day. You do. There's a lot of content you have to go through. What?
This episode good.
Yes, this episode's really good, but it's also really,
Gundam
really
Zeta.
Visual. It's yeah. really visual.
Yeah, like we have a page of notes.
Yeah, not a lot actually happens, but it's very pretty the whole time.
Yeah, so honestly, just don't listen to this episode. Just go watch it if you haven't.
There is that. It's also... The couple of things that do happen are really interesting things that happen. Mm-hmm. It's just, then there's a lot of beating around the bush and looking really pretty.
You got a point. Like, they introduce a lot, God, a lot, actually,
so much.
A lot of really impactful shit happens. It just doesn't take long.
Yeah. We're done with what we needed to get done in, like, there's 5 minutes of content in this episode,
yeah.
and 15
Which means
minutes.
We are definitely going to talk about it for 3 hours, knowing
yeah.
us.
You bet your sweet bippy.
Oh, please be nice to me, Fuzzy, and don't want to know.
You were slave in the editing mines! Just Balrog.
So, why are you Carltoning with less enthusiasm here?
When I start, as always, because we're recording this in the morning-ish. Well, no, it's the morning. It's 10.
This is the morning.
Definitely the morning.
I've been awake for hours, but it's still technically the morning.
I mean, I've been awake since 7 as well. Like, it's been a hot minute at this stage. But nonetheless, morning means I'm excited about the OP. But for some reason, when I started it, it took a second for me to get into it. And I was like, still Carltoning, but less enthusiasm. And then I got into it and was like, yeah! I love the OP as always. Also, I'm really goblin-y today. I don't know why. Anyway, I just realized, because I've been bullshitting so much, I hadn't even opened the summary again. So, OP aside, we open to a proper, like, just pan of an asteroid base. It, later on, you kind of realize it might be, Aobawakwa. Like, I think that's what it's supposed to be. It's either that or Luna 2. I'm not inherently sure. Either way, narrator-san gives us a little monologue about how apparently Zeon, in the last couple of weeks, since all this Aeyug shit been popping off, they decide, you know what? We should probably do something.
We should probably get in this.
We should probably get in this.
Yeah.
Something we already knew, but narrator-san is now confirming for us, but also telling us that the Fetties know Zeon is kinda up to something, but they're just not doing anything about it. Uh-huh. Apparently because the Fetties are completely unconcerned with space.
They're busy being fascists, is the thing.
This is, I just like, because we have the time, so to speak. Why? Why would you be unconcerned with the rest of space? That, like, why? Why?
Well, it's nationalism, right? But on a global level. It's a global version of nationalism.
I get and, that.
Which,
but...
which isn't, which, well, you, why wouldn't we be concerned with the rest of the world? It makes zero sense to people like you and me, but to some people, it makes perfect sense, apparently.
Fair, I guess mostly because other people live there already, and I'm counting on them to deal with themselves, at least offhand.
Counting on them to stop burning down our oxygen makers.
That, yeah, failing at that, but...
So... Fun thing happens in this episode. Well, I guess I can't just get to that. We do see a purple-haired lady with some blue Zakus.
Yes. Right after this monologue about Zeon and the title card, which is Amuro Flies Again.
Which is literal in this case.
Is very literal. Oh, yeah, you're right. double entendre, I didn't get the first time. We then cut down to the Earth jungles, those blue Zakus, lady with purple hair. Her name is Rosamia, right? Uh-huh. Yes. I keep wanting to say Rosalia, and that's not right at all.
I missed her name completely the entire thing. I think because when I first started, it was in Japanese, and I was like busy trying to switch it over to English.
Oops.
hey... I know these don't actually count as mobile armors, really, because they transform, I guess. But we've officially found the first mobile armor that I just kind of like.
You like this one?
I like this one. It has these really cool, like, turning, it's jets change, like kind of like a Harrier.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they move, and they're also the shields. I really like it. I think it's a really cool design.
Yeah.
I also like the next one, but for a completely different reason.
God, what was this thing's name? They said it.
Yeah, they said it near the end.
Gaplant.
Yeah.
Yeah, this mobile armor suit, because it you know it transforms immediately.
It's got legs. It's got, no, this one's got arms out in front of it.
Yeah, yeah.
They clasp to form the nose. It's really fucking dope.
It is. It's a really well done suit, and a really well done transformation that like makes sense, and doesn't. It's really a lot of the transforming modes in everything, be it Transformers or Gundam or what have you. A lot of the transformed versions look like trash. It looks like a plane with a bunch of Gundam parts just coming off of it in a terrifying amalgam that looks like someone just kind of simmered a plane with a Gundam in a pot and poured it into a mold, and then whatever is sticking out of it, nah, it happens. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't do that, or at the very least incorporates all of the, okay, I can tell that Gundam bits come out of that. It folds in, And it makes sense. And it looks real good. It looks still sleek and fast, and it can drift.
It does, because it can turn, like, just rotate its thrusters. It does some really fucking dope maneuvers.
It can drift.
It can drift.
Okay, I tossed my headphones off my head. Managed to catch them, nonetheless. The headbanging launched them off my head.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
So
headbanging does not translate well to an audio media. Interesting fact.
We got back to the crew. I also, like, I want to note now, we have so many fucking factions.
We really do.
It's...
I do notice, like, I wrote down at the start here that this is the Karaba slash Aeyug forces, right?
Yeah.
Over the course of the episode, they're constantly only referred to as the Aeyug forces, so I think for simplicity's sake, even we'll Gundam is, Aeyug. Like, they're just folded in. They're just folded in.
Because it does feel like this is, like Karaba have had to abandon their base. So technically, and like all of the, no, I guess there, no, I guess there is like, there is another Karaba people who are moving just to another place, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that Hayato and then the shuttle, are the ones that are hanging out with the Aeyug right now.
Yes. Apparently that is the main part of the Karaba, however.
Yeah. The rest of them are just going to set up another base.
Yeah. So we cut over to them and their big brown Garuda. Also, wasn't it red last time?
It was red, right?
Or, okay. Because
there was a red one and another colored one.
And
one
a green
of them blew
one.
Up, right?
Yeah.
No, they took the other ones.
Yep.
Karaba took the other ones. I thought this was red.
Yeah. Okay. We're not hallucinating. It was red previously.
Okay. Well... You know what? I'm gonna give them a pass because this episode's fucking beautiful, and they one little minor oversight.
It's just so weird that like because it's also the same type of like pallid brown.
Yeah,
like it was a really washed out red, and this is a really washed out brown.
Yeah, I wonder if they just ran out of red. Like, we used all this on these mini, mini char suits, and now we're running low. We need to just
we gotta switch to brown.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, Hayato hands Char a Betamax containing a bunch of data on local G. That wasn't a Betamax. It's like a floppy thing with a thicker top. Either way, it's some... Once again... extraneous mechanical detail in an 80s mecha show. Thank you. There's no reason that every single one of those little floppy disks needed to independently move and pop out when Hayato hit that button.
Yeah.
But every one of those goes with its own inertia and stops, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It did not need to exist.
No.
And we thank you that it does.
Char
immediately hands the Betamax over to some other guy to look at, while Camille is ordered to, hey, you get ready, we're probably gonna get attacked. Camille immediately responds to this by going, why are you not mourning your friend's death, Char? Char reacts, as I think is completely fair, by doing the Marge Simpson, hey kids, can you lighten up a little?
Mm-hmm. This is where Camille is like, I think he might like war.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is.
Which I don't, I think is not a bad take. I think it's, there's also the take of like, it's probably all he knows.
I think it's a little column A, column B. If it's all you know, you gotta figure out how to love what you do, I guess. Ugh. Mm. We cut over to the Fetties in their own big plane, and we learn this is Outlaw Sleg, whose name I have immediately forgotten.
But I'm glad you also made that connection, because I was like, does Sleg just have a shitload of cousins? Because this is the second Sleg knockoff.
This is the same Sleg knockoff as last time.
Oh, this is the same
time.
One. Okay.
Yes, that's why he's Outlaw Sleg.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, the Outlaw Sleg refers to this gentleman who... I'm sure I'll figure his name out eventually.
No, it doesn't matter.
I think it starts with a B?
Vagina.
No, that's the other one. That's our blonde. It's the one on our team. That's our himbo. We...
Oh god, he's such a himbo in this episode.
Just a t-shirt with Char's face that says "Our himbo."
We stan our himbo.
Oh lord. So purple hair. This is where we learn purple hair woman's name, Rosamia. She is from Augusta Lab,
which comes back is explained a bit later with a very interesting development.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. So. Outlaw Slig has some ominous thoughts about her. Nothing that says anything, but a lot of things that imply things. Mm-hmm. Nothing concrete, even. It's just the implication that she's weird and dangerous.
Yeah.
Over to Amuro. He's saying bye to the Kobayashis. I don't know why I wrote it with the monetary transaction bye.
I'm not saying shit.
God, I just, like, bye to the Kobayashis, and he's just pointing at cats. Bye.
Bye what?
Bye! Frog leaves him with a, and this is word for word, they have a brief conversation where Amuro's still having this, I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah, because he's like, look, they're right, like, look around, they are right there. If I will not even make it out of this airport if I try something. And they're like, all right, whatever, nerd. Yeah. But go ahead and say her line.
Her line is, remember, you'll gain nothing from becoming a child again, Amuro.
That
hit him where it hurts, for the record. Yeah.
So when they say goodbye, Amuro kisses her on the cheek. And then after that line, he starts chewing his nails again.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a Camille thing, right?
No, that was Amuro's thing,
too.
That
was an Amuro thing.
Amuro also chew their nails.
Both of them do it. Okay. But it was a really nice callback.
Mm-hmm. I really like that, too. I'm glad you noticed, too.
Yeah.
They did it super obviously.
Yeah, they did do it obviously, I think it was a really good... Because they didn't have to do that.
Nope.
It was a very good way to show us that he's, like...
Thinking about it.
Yeah, like, that fucking hit.
He then looks over at a nearby plane. The camera zooms in a bit, and then he turns his head and looks at the Kobayashi family again, and... Yeah, that's a decision face. I don't know why he does it this way, but he decides to go... We don't see this part, but he buys some just cans and bullshit and snacks... Carries it over to the Kobayashis, spills a bunch, and goes like, oh, my bad, sorry. Casually sits down, and then goes, can I borrow cats for a while? What do you mean,
I didn't get the impression he meant for weeks, months, or days, but I think that's what's about to happen.
I'm not gonna lie, I got the impression that it was, I don't know how long I'm going to be borrowing him.
I'm gonna borrow your child, to be determined when the return date will be.
I promise I'll bring him to his dad, to his adopted dad.
I'll bring him to a parent.
A parent will be involved shortly. But
Cats
I need...
Cats is fucking down.
Cats is immediately down, which, thank you, Cats. To be fair, you shouldn't take children into a war zone.
No.
But if you needed to take children into a war zone, I would pick one of these three war orphans to take into a war zone.
Because they saved the world.
They saved the world. They deserve a Medal of Honor. And every other award the Fedis can give them. And also... I think they just kept enough residual skills, like, surely. Like, they learned some shit on White
also,
Base.
I can't imagine Hayato did not teach them how to throw the fuck down.
Fuck. Fuck!
Just three badass judo fighters.
I forgot, Hayato...
Just
God,
fucking
Hayato's...
throwing each other around.
Hayato got Ryu's build.
Uh-huh. Oh, he did. He did. He's a beefcake. He's a short beefcake, but a beefcake.
I'm just coming to the slow and sudden realization that Hayato Kobayashi is probably gotten a couple of dons on that black belt since we last saw him. And
what if? Okay, so here's my fan fiction. You remember how that fucking white mobile suit with the black belt shows up to fucking judo fight Camille?
Mm-hmm.
Hayato has to fight that one instead.
Except Hayato doesn't get in a mobile suit himself.
No, he doesn't. He just... in his fucking hands.
This is the power of judo. Your own power against you. He's just flexing on this fucking mobile suit. How did you throw that? What body mechanics did you use?
Judo. Body slaps his tits.
A hollow metallic ting.
Cass agrees, and Amuro is like, "Oh, fuck, it's fine, whatever." To Fra,
don't worry about it, Fra. Nothing bad will happen. Also, don't worry about it. Seriously, don't worry about it. This is your assignment for this one. Your kid will be safe. The rest of us I can't promise, but this child will be safe.
God, and he's immediately put in so many dangerous situations.
So
but
many.
Both of them, he's like, "Hey, who needs to go to the bathroom?" And Katz is like, "Me, Dad?"
"Me, you old fucking man?" And he's like, cheeky little shit.
Yeah. So they run to the bathroom. Amuro busts the fucking, key code lock off of a key code thing and breaks out the fucking... Like, it just destroys a door.
Do not touch. Wham!
Yeah, piece of shit. And then, oh my god, this is such a baller move. I love this so much. So, they bolt across the runway, and he's like, "You see that fucking freighter? We're going for that one." And
yeah,
like, okay.
If you actually, I did this. I went frame by frame in this section, and you can actually see faintly the outline of the Magnum Dong enter Amuro's soul in the background as he big dicks his way into Grand Theft Army freighter. Yeah.
He gets to the top of the little ladder thing, and he pulls a fucking gun out of his, back pants.
Pulls a gun out of his waistband.
Fucking pistol whips one pilot, takes the other hostage, pushes him out onto the ladder, pistol whips him. as Katz has already dragged the other... Katz is a fucking wingman from hell. He drags the other pilot out on the thing, and then Amuro knocks the second pilot out on the thing, and then hits a button so it just starts driving away from the freighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they steal this goddamn freighter.
Yep. They steal the freighter, jump in, close the hatch. Katz is like, "Amuro, are you this good?"
He's like, "Amuro, this isn't a runway." And Amuro's like, "Fucking watch me, buddy."
Yeah, I was like, "We got the room. Plus, I need to take it wide to avoid Frabo's ship and your brother and sister."
Oh.
He manages to take off this army freighter with way less runway than he should have. But does make it. Uh-huh. Fraw is... We also keep cutting over to Fraw, Kika, and Letts on the passenger plane. And they're like, "I'm a little worried. But just a little." Luckily, everything's A-okay. Also, during all of this, we got to see Amuro's spy, the guy who was spying on Amuro. It took him until they were getting in the plane to realize Amuro had been in the bathroom for 20 minutes.
Well, he wasn't that long. I think that was real time. They moved so fucking fast.
If that was real time, that was amazing.
Yeah.
They sprinted.
They commandoed that fucking thing.
They were just like, Amuro was just like, "Katz, I need to know, did 6 months of being a war orphan on White Base train you to be a fucking commando?" "Yes, sir!" And they did it.
Yep.
Don't train child soldiers. Don't. But these ones ended up really good. These are some premium ones.
So they manage to take off. They don't force Frabbo's plane to land, and they get changed. They get new clothes.
I realized later it was mostly leather jackets. Why did the Fetty plane have two extra leather jackets under the seats?
Just in case.
Are you... You have to wear a leather jacket to pilot a plane. It's Fetty regulation.
It's literally impossible not to. It's a part of the design. It's like a safety switch.
If you're not wearing a leather jacket, the plane shuts off in midair.
Yeah, and falls.
Plummets to the ground.
We cut to Rosamia again, who have caught up to the Garuda and are fucking about to go to town.
Yep, it's fight time already. We are like 5 minutes into the actual episode.
This is a real fucking good fight too.
Yeah.
So her, obviously, she's a mobile. Like everybody's like, oh fuck, a mobile armor. Oh shit, a mobile armor. Oh no, a mobile armor.
Yep.
Camille is ordered to stay in the hangar bay and fire out of that while Quattro goes and fights.
Yep.
Apparently, like, and Camille wasn't paying attention and goes to get on a wave rider, and someone's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, what? He's like, Quattro said to stay here, and he's like, oh.
Oh, my bad.
Okay.
Due to what happens later, I do kind of read this as very willful ignorance, but nonetheless.
Yeah, because he's a little shit about this later.
Uh-huh.
But this is a real fucking cool fight of, like, people on wave riders jumping off to try to get shots and then having it's a little later, but Camille does a we'll get to that when we get to it.
Oh yeah, that one's good.
But like people trying to fight a mobile armor on in mobile suits with these wave riders is real fucking cool.
Like Quattro is having no particular issue dealing with the Navy SEAL Zakus on their double dodies, right? Because they're like two to a rider,
and he's fucking them up. At one point, I think it's Quattro who just like notices some Zakus behind him and just like points the gun over his shoulder and takes them out.
Yeah, he does just do a bend back
a
and
fucking
just,
baller move.
Yeah, I don't think he even looks. It's just like a.
He looks back to see them and then looks back the way he's going and fires behind him.
Yep. And it does shoot one of those Zakus right through the heart and then takes the other one out. Yeah, it's great.
And I think that was also the one who was like, oh no, I'm falling.
Yep.
And is like trying to, to his credit, while plummeting to his death, is trying to shoot Quattro. Yep.
Still very much plummets to his death, which Rosamia notices, calls out, and then proceeds to skydrift?
Yeah.
Around the Garuda and does a flyby where she takes out a mobile suit that was between Appley and, not Appley, whoever's in the Rick Dias and Camille. Forgot the protagonist's name for a beat.
Yeah, just takes out someone inside the fucking hangar bay.
Yeah. Camille, very visibly worried.
Yeah, she also scores like a really good hit on the Garuda too.
Yep.
To which one of my favorite moments is the co-pilot of the Garuda is like, "Oh, we took a hit." And Hayato's like, "It's fine. Don't be a fucking baby." We'll be fine.
There's also a moment just before that happens where Hayato remarks, "Man, that mobile armor is way more dangerous than we anticipated it to be." And Camille from the hangar bay over the radio goes, "You think?"
In the English, he said, "Oh, we should have launched our mobile suits." And Camille is like, "Too late for that, buddy."
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does in this too. And Hayato's immediate reaction is like,
"He's
you
so
little
pissed.
Shit,
Camille, you fucking the fuck up. He's such a dad."
He like he was like, "I'm gonna beat you with my sandals. Fists will not enter the equation. Only sandals. Only
Camille,
plastic flip-flops."
Camille decides to just launch.
Which, he's like, open the back, I'm launching to a guy in a Nemo next to him, and the guy in the Nemo's like, but they said stay here. And Camille's just protag eyeing him, and he's like, okay.
Well,
opens the door.
He grabs a Wave Rider.
I love that to open the door, he had to grab... So with the mobile suit, he grabs this dial, and then just, like, it takes, like, five turns of the hand, but just the hand rotates, because it's a giant robot.
Yeah. I love any time that the giant robots have to use their hands as hands.
Yep. But then do a weird robot thing, like, rotate your just your wrist.
Yeah, just engage rotors. So he goes out to fight Rosa, and it's bad. He gets shot. Is this where the tip of Quattro's gun gets shot off?
No, that's after the commercial.
Right. Oh yeah, because they duel together for a while. And it's so fucking cool. But
yeah.
Want to see your favorite original Gundam characters in all sorts of neat and awesome situations that weren't in the anime? Then check out Tangents Abound at twotruefreaks.com. That's two spelled out. Where Aaron Henley is covering the entire Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin manga in a side series titled White Base Chronicle. We're just about done with the chase from Side 7 to Earth, and you're about to meet a certain purple-haired prince, and Chris's ship sails once more. Hope to see you there. And now we've got some chaz. So these are from Ganglo-Saxon. Of the three children, it's reckless, impulsive, and thick-headed Cats who Amuro takes with him to reunite with Hayato, not Kika, who's the troop's leader in the one-year war, or Letts, who can chew through ropes with his inhuman bite force. Instead of someone useful, Amuro took the most naive and irritating child. How much of that do you guys think is Amuro wanting to give Fra a break from Cats, and how much do you think is Amuro wanting to find a quiet place out of Fra's sight to correct Cats' shitty behavior? I don't think Amuro's going to hit him.
Probably not. I do think that child is going to get some talking to's on the Karaba base, probably.
But
mostly from his day.
I know this is supposed to be a silly question, but I've been thinking about it, and I think the only reason he took Cats is because Cats is the one who wanted to go.
I also think it's because Cats is the only one of the kids who actually knows Karaba stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems like Cats is genuinely pretty into it, of like, Fetties are being really shitty, like super shitty to all of us. We can't let that just happen. So I think he's been like actively paying attention and is thus, of the three, the actually most useful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think he knows how to pilot shit already. Unlike the other two, which we see later in the episode, at least. He just gets a actual jetpack. An actual genuine jetpack.
Question two. How much does it... Oh God, that thing is cool. I want one personally.
Yeah, same.
How much does it suck to be a Dodai / base jobber pilot? Your only job is to exist to be driven around by mobile suit pilots. To be driven around by mobile suit pilots and then catch them when they fuck up their midair attacks. Also explode.
Wow, yeah, a lot.
It's easy to forget there are people piloting those things.
Now, I have to wonder, are there people piloting the... Is there someone in the Dodai who Camille was jumping on? And Char, I guess, because Char with the Hyaku is also on top of a Dodai.
We can look it up, right? What's a Dodai? Dodai...
D-O-D-A-I.
Yeah. Dodai 2? Let's see. Dodai. Manufacturer Zeon. Operator. Known pilots. There's a pilot of a Dodai 2.
Oh.
A known pilot is Mei Cowan.
But what's the crew requirements?
It does not say.
Bastards.
Let's see if there's another Dodai. Let's see. Dodai. Ah, fuck it. It's too late. Done. We're done. I think the A, it definitely sucks. Also, B, closest I would come to being a pilot. like a cool mobile suit pilot. I'm the guy who dies in a Dodai.
I'm the guy. It's me.
I am the one who dies, who Dodai's. Okay, last question. And this is a bit of a spoiler, but whatever. Do you think hair dye is a requirement, a required part of the cyber new type creation process? I'm not convinced anybody here with weird hair is dyed. I think these are anime rules, right?
Yeah, anime rules, yeah. I don't think anyone in anime has dyed hair. I think just something really weird. I think it's all the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nuclear bombs have gone off. We don't know what those do to human beings. I certainly don't. Breathing Minovsky particles all the time cannot be good for you. And we know that
you're
it's
just
dense
breathing
enough.
Dead moms.
Oh, no. You're probably right, too, which is the worst part.
Okay, so now the part that I've been excited for this whole time. I'm not saying any specific listener is my favorite right now. However, Alolan Roy is my top of everybody's equal, but also Alolan Roy is right at the top right now. So do you have the
yes,
list of
this is the Gundams.
We're gonna figure out if I know if these are real Gundams or shit that not just Roy made up. Apparently, it's been crowdsourced.
Okay.
I think the last one.
Okay, this one does say I made another, so.
Okay.
Who's to say?
Who is it?
First, Mermaid Gundam.
It specifically says a fake. It's gonna be fake.
G Gundam.
God damn it. Wait, G Gundam is about nations. Is Atlantis a fucking nation?
No, I forget.
Who the fuck is the Mermaid Gundam?
Mermaid Gundam. I know Mermaid Gundam is real. Mermaid Gundam is from... Come on. Neo who? Denmark?
Okay.
Neo Denmark.
All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just gonna send you this.
Okay.
Just take it here. Just see that. Just see Mermaid Gundam. That's
my god.
Yeah. Transforms into another fish. He gets fishier, apparently.
He just shoved his arms and legs out of the fish and then ripped its bottom jaw off.
For the record, Denmark has a few others of those that come in crab and lobster version.
Oh my god. Okay, we're on the first one. We've got to get
you
through this.
You experienced a level of childlike joy I have not heard in quite some time.
It's so bad, and I love it.
Number two, Enterprise Gundam.
Fake.
You're correct.
Good.
Tequila Gundam.
Real, and I'm mad about it, right?
Yep.
Yep.
L5 Low Lion-y Gundam. Lion-y Gundam.
Fake?
You are correct. Lione is the name of a Gungan.
All right.
Panini Gundam.
That's fake, but I really love the reference to my favorite child, Lil Nas X.
Haro Gundam.
I've been thinking about this, and I can't remember. I think this is yes, right? Like, I think you've told me they made Haro into a Gundam at some point. Like a ball? There's a ball that's a Haro?
That is a fan-made thing.
Oh, okay. Then fake.
Yes. Yep, you're correct. Okay. Haro. Haro Gundam is sadly only in my
dreams. It's real in my heart.
Yeah. RX-9 Narrative Gundam.
I really like that. But it's fake, right?
It's real.
Oh, shit!
Narrative Gundam is the star of the new, I think RX-9 narrative is... Yeah, I think that's NT, Gundam narrative.
It's a weirdly... Like, for some reason, that's even though it's just a narrative, it's just... the connotations of it are great.
It like sounds it. Really dope, right?
Yeah.
It looks pretty fucking good, too. Wow, that actually looks really good.
Hit
Holy
me,
shit.
Hit me.
I almost accidentally pinged it to Roy. Bing.
Oh, that is fucking dope.
Like, that's sleek.
Yeah, that's svelte. That's like, oh, like, yeah. That's yeah, I'm fucking into that.
That's a Gundam that fucks.
That Gundam, real, and well.
Yeah. Oh, man, I actually like the fact that the core fighter is more visible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If you look close and then you also, like, click on the core fighter thing, yeah.
You can see the fucking cockpit.
Yeah, the window is right there.
Yeah, that's fucking good. Dope. This yeah. is a dope Gundam. Honestly, maybe my favorite Gundam.
New mission. Make him say that every time.
Okay.
You'll excuse me if this takes me a go or two. Zephranthes Gundam.
Yeah, that would have been my take on it. Part of me is like, if you don't know how to pronounce it, then you probably haven't ran into it before, but that doesn't mean anything. There are Gundams you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, it's so over the top.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
I kind of want to say yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I want to say yes.
That is correct. It is real.
Let's look at this. Let's look at this child.
It is real.
Hui Chonky. He's the bad Captain America drawing of Gundams.
Yep. He is also apparently from Stardust Memory.
Oh, cool. All right. Next.
CBT-689 Ballast Gundam.
I'm going to say yes, but if it's not a boat Gundam, I'm going to be pissed.
You thought Cock and Ball Torture 69 Balls and Ass Gundam was real?
Ballast, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fake.
I just heard Ballast.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want you to know that in the spoiler for every one of these that is fake, he just included a link to the same image of Riker going, "It's fake."
Fuck. Roy's too good for us.
For the record, they don't all load because they're in spoilers.
Yeah.
But it's still very good.
Yeah.
I appreciate it nonetheless. I actually, and I don't know for a fact that that was the origin, but I saw CBT and was like, "Heh." Lastly, but certainly not leastly, Balnagaron Gundam. Balnagaron? I don't know. I tried.
I literally have no, like, this was a stumper. I have no way to lean one of the way or the other, so I'm going to say fake.
You are correct.
Okay.
It's also that collection of words is so specific that it only has shown up twice, and one of the or that collection of letters, Balnagaron or what have you, is so specific it has only shown up twice on the internet, one of them being the cha tweet. The other time it was find out the location of Hyderabad Ball Space Nagar Space on Google Maps below.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone go follow at Alolan Roy on Twitter.
Yeah, for that. This alone.
Okay. We don't have any iTunes reviews. And we're just gonna cha.
That was such a soft one.
Cha.
Just such a gentle cha.
Charmander. Okay, back at it.
Charmander Gundam.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Got a fire on its tail.
Oh, God, what about a Charmander Gundam? Pokemon Zoids!
Oh! What?
Oh, fuck, why did I not think of that until just... I mean, I'm sure someone else has said those two things together, but... Why is that not a thing?
Oh my god, okay.
Nintendo!
Game Freak, come at us.
Wait, they made Kaiju ones? Kaiju, the next step, it has to be. The next step has to be giant robot Pokemon. To fight your giant Kaiju Pokemon. What happens if you supersize an already giant Pokemon?
Well, we return to the duel.
That's so fucking ominous. Camille has jumped off of his Dodai and grabbed onto the Gaplant by clawing its fucking face and just hanging on for dear life. Mm-hmm. Rosa Mia has an interesting response to that by going, if you're gonna pull off such a stupid maneuver as this, you better kill me really fast. Come on, why are you not killing me? And Camille's like,
too late, motherfucker.
Was that?
That was my very bad Transformer sound, yes.
All right, cool.
Thank you for pointing directly at it. Yeah. And laughing.
Always. I make sure to save it just for you. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons lately, too, so I'm ripe for just pointing and laughing at people. it's an iconic way of making fun of someone.
So she transforms, which launches Camille off. Okay. Dances around. He managed to land back on his Dodai, which is dope.
It's the fact there's a pilot in there makes it make more sense to me now. But nonetheless, getting back to it, impressive.
A lot of this is very impressive. Like they are so on point with their thruster animations. This one, it's so pretty. These fights are pretty, and I'm angry about it.
Remember how last episode I was like, man, some of these people had like 3 frames of animation. This is where all the frames went.
Yep.
Right here. Rosa proceeds to nearly get the kill shot on Camille. She is there ready to end him until Char steps in. Makes a well-placed shot directly to her nose.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure. He did the whole fucking instant transmission behind her thing, right?
In front of her and Camille.
Peekaboo, motherfucker!
Yep. The thing that intrigues me is the beam started scattering ahead of the Gaplant's nose. Mm. It not, like, due to any contact with the armor. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if the Gaplant is equipped with some shield shenanigans, a lot like,
We're gonna learn, there's some shenanigans about this mobile armor and this mobile armor pilot.
Yeah, a little bit.
So Quattro saves Camille's life, and he's like, I bet Camille didn't even get permission for this.
Yep. Camille exits
moving
the Gundam.
Moving in again that Quattro knows this little shit.
Yep. Camille exits the Gundam back on the Garuda, and Hayato is there to mean mug him immediately.
This is the thing!
Yep.
So if y'all have been paying attention to our feed, the episode art for all the episodes up till now has been this scene.
Yep.
And Hayato, because Camille like snarkily says, "What, are you here to correct me?" And Hayato's response is, "I don't think simply hitting you would improve your attitude or your personality."
Your personality.
Which is such a fucking... Hayato, what the fuck? Being a dad has made you mean.
Hayato long since learned in dealing with protagonists that violence may not be the answer. Instead, raise his crops and destroy his farmland. Jesus Christ.
We do see, like, Hayato having to visibly restrain himself when he thinks... Because at some point, he's like, I felt myself being pulled to battle. And Hayato, like, looks like he
wants
to hit
him. Are you making
excuses?
Thinking,
yeah. Yeah,
and he
thinks he's joking.
His fist. Yeah.
To which Quattro's like, yo, wait.
No. New type. It's cool.
Feral fucking child. Don't hit him. He knows things. They mention as feeling a great danger from the last two, the same as Ice Baby and
yeah,
and her. They both feel this great danger from them,
which is very ominous, and we learn why shortly. That ominousness maintains as the music changes to that ominous little piano ditty.
Yeah.
As we go over to, I think his name is Brant, but I'm going to keep calling him Outlaw Slag because I think he has one more episode in him.
Look, I thought he was gone this episode, honestly.
Someone with a cooler name showed up and a cooler shtick, and yeah. I'm sorry, but that pompadour will not save you.
So they have him and Rosa have a conversation where he's kind of shitty to her, and she's very deferential. Like, she does say yes sirs all the time. She doesn't argue with him. She seems really professional, which is strange.
I have a read on that, but let's say the thing first.
So he has to put this breathing mask on because they're at very high altitude, and he's walking away, and he turns around because he notices that she's not. She has not put one on. He's like, don't you have trouble breathing? And she says, no, my lungs have been enhanced.
Which, he goes, ah, cool. She heads up to the yellow ready room, because everyone has one, I guess. Why are they all yellow?
It's calming.
Is it?
I don't know.
He gets in his donut and starts wondering
I love this donut so much!
Yeah.
So dumb! It looks like I kept thinking of it as like the inflatable raft of mobile armor.
Yeah,
it's just a giant metal inflatable raft with legs.
But it's funny because I also really like it, and I might go to Hobby Town today and buy one if I didn't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in box things still. Oh, I need to finish making my Gundams.
You do.
Yeah. Anyway. My backlog aside, he casually wonders to himself about the capabilities and strengths and perhaps weaknesses of cyber new types.
Yep. They just dropped that on you.
And then they leave.
Yeah, like,
just cyber new type and go.
Yeah, they don't do the thing where they, like, upfront you with a shitload of exposition or anything. They're just like, hey, guess what? We're just going to leave you with this for a little while. Think about the implications. Bye. Camille, like, comes out of his bedroom because he hears an alarm, and Quattro's like, oh, because in the last one they were talking about how they're just going to launch again. They're not going to expect a second attack.
Yep.
Cut to them not expecting a second attack.
Yep.
Because I think Camille had went to his room.
Yeah, it seems like everyone was like, okay, we're safe, let's chill out for a second. Wee-woo!
Wee-woo-wee-woo! So he comes out, Quattro's already running by, he's like, I think we're under attack again, we need to fucking get down there. And he's like, oh, okay.
Hop in suit, now.
Yeah, and this time they're not like, oh, we need to stay in the thing. They're both like, let's just go, let's do this.
Which, if you do decide to go watch this episode, which you should, or rewatch probably, just prep yourself for this part, because hot swiggity shiggity damn. This part, like, gave me the same vibe as Asuka and Shinji learning the dance to kick the ass of the twin angel. It's that type of shit. Teamwork is good. Teamwork is good.
There's not... This is actually a pretty long fight scene. But I don't think there's much use to going into it because it's all just visual. Quattro and Camille work so fucking well together, and it's so cool, like, jumpy, flippy, fly bullshit.
The shit I want to really zoom in on, Camille and Quattro come out with bazookas, but with multiple types of ammunition in it.
Which they use for area denial.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
Well, And they use multiple types during the episode, even. It's not just, like, we have it. Camille switches from shotgun round to, which, first of all, the fact that the bazooka doubles as a shotgun, fuck yeah? Perfect. Fuck yeah.
Super into that. You know what I miss? Okay, quick sidebar. You know what I miss from last? And I know why they're not doing it. They're just showing us a shitload of new... And I think they stopped doing it near the end of 0079, too. Mm-hmm. But we're not getting, like, dope new names for these weapons every time they use them.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? The Gundam Hammer? Or whatever? The Laser Hammer?
The Gundam Hammer was the chain spike.
Yeah.
And then the Javelin... beam javelin is the fucking ball spike thing they have. A lot of that shit was excessively named. We did get some excessive naming here with the mega particle cannon.
But back to this. We also find out it's really cool that, like, they're using it to corral this mobile armor so that it, because... Real talk, it's just it's just Camille and Quattro out here doing this. They're fighting it together. They don't have support, and they're outgunned, but they're using these tactics to keep them somewhere they can actually engage with them because they can't fly on their own power.
Yeah,
and it's just really fucking dope.
Yeah,
we also find out that Kat and Amuro are getting close. Amuro, is this the point where Amuro's like, go put on this thing and jump out of this ship because I'm about to do some shit.
Yeah, he does. He spots the battle and zooms in with the, you know, readout in the plane and goes, "Cats, put on the jetpack and go. I'm going to drive this ship into that mobile armor."
By the way, it's a full bodysuit jetpack, with its own wings. And then Amuro puts on a fucking...
Parachute.
And I'm like, Amuro, are you okay, buddy?
Speaking of Ryu, smells familiar.
Oh, God. Yeah. Quattro and the Outlaw's Leg just start trading shots. Quattro shoots him in the face with the shotgun.
Yeah. It cracks his face. Really good. It's really good because you get so much fucking mechanical detail as you see each pellet fucking go into the Hashimar, and its face gets blown out and you see the wiring behind the visor, Chris. They could have just made it black. No one would have blamed them.
Yep.
But they didn't.
Nope.
Salute.
Fucking Camille is like, oh shit, there's a plane, and dips out of the way. Quattro gets like a, ooh. Oh. Amuro? And Amuro says out loud,
"Char, get out of the way."
Yeah, "Char, get out of my way." And it doesn't, I'm gonna just jump to it. Later when he has a moment to think about that, he's like, "Did I just say fucking Char?"
Yeah.
Like he just knew it. And then both later had to be like, did I know that? Did I just know that?
But both of them did it too. Yeah. And both of them didn't realize they did it because Char immediately backs up and goes, "Amuro, what are you doing? Wait, Amuro."
Yeah.
The
rest of this episode is going to be me fucking screaming about this.
The rest of this episode, for those of you who don't remember, is the one I think everyone started pointing to explain every Charmero fic. This and the duel in space.
This is the gayest fucking scene in any... Gundam, like, I don't even...
So far, yeah.
It's gotta be... It's to the point where I'm like, Tomino knew what he was doing, right? Like, this was on purpose?
You
right?
Couldn't not possibly get more homoromantic.
So,
like, we thought dueling in Aobao Akuo was, like, getting hot and heavy.
I mean, it did have a sword fight, which is pretty gay, but...
But this...
In this one, they... Oh, my God. They lay it on so fucking thick. So Amuro, Slegg is about to take out Char, right?
Yeah. And the Garuda is about to take out the Garuda. And Amuro crashes the whole ass plane into him, managing to take him out at such an angle that the Garuda is completely avoided.
Yeah. And also in a way that he doesn't hit him cockpit first.
Yep.
So that he's not destroyed. It ends up severing the cockpit off of the actual freighter.
Yep.
It doesn't destroy the mobile armor. It does knock it off balance, and it falls out of the sky and has to transform and be like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. He says, let's retreat. I just got suicide bombed. What is it called? Well, I just got ran into. Yeah. I got kamikaze. There we go. It's not great. So we see, and I think we see, like, the plane is plummeting. Oh my god. Okay, so before we get to the actual gay stuff, there's another fucking beautiful goddamn scene of the freighter plummeting out of the sky. The cockpit is completely destroyed. He's hanging on to the wheel. And we see the Mark II slide down. And we see Amuro look at he looks at the fucking Gundam. And he's like, that's a Gundam. And the Gundam and Amuro look at each other for a little while. And it's just like, hi, old friend. You're new, but different.
Put on something new. Fresh face. Change your makeup. Redid your hair.
He pushes himself out of the thing, activates his parachute. Fucking Camille, like, softly catches him in the hands of the Mark II like a baby.
Mm-hmm. And it gets instantly way gayer as,
oh my god,
after he releases the parachute from him, he, like, takes a second to lay down and then sees the Hyaku start getting closer.
Because it slides into frame and just like, I want you to know, they're in fucking free fall right now.
They are in free fall, which is why I want to talk about how dumb the next thing that happens is, like, this whole setup that's about to happen for this last tableau is beautiful. Do not misunderstand me.
Also,
but I also want to mention how absolutely idiotic it is on a just OSHA safety level.
So Char is looking at Amuro, and the screen casts Amuro in a very romantic red light. He's backlit.
Orange and red light.
Orange and red light. And he's just like, he's silhouetted, and like the music, and it's all, everything slowed down. And like, Char is like, is that Amuro?
You got real into my ear there, boy.
And he's like, zoom in. It's so fucking right. Like, I know that I'm a mush pile, but this is so fucking romantic.
Come the fuck on.
And go ahead and say the thing. Say what they did. Because Camille and Quattro both do it.
At this stage, Camille opens his cockpit.
In free fall.
They are in free fall. And because of how hands work, you know, the hands are palm up holding Amuro, which means the chest is facing down towards the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Camille opens his cockpit, chest
Steps
down.
And looks at Amuro.
And opens it, crawls out, away from keyboard, talks to Amuro. And then,
in free fall,
the Hyaku then gets closer.
Oh my god!
And does the same thing.
But it's not as, like, Camille just comes out of the cockpit. The fucking reveal, like the panels shift. Amuro, like, looks and
he,
like,
props himself up to look at who's gonna get out of the Hyaku.
Uh huh. And then, like, more panels open, and the thing opens. We get a beat. And out steps Char fucking Aznavel. And they make, like, we see his face. We see his fucking face.
No
and
glasses.
Amuro sees his face. And they look at each other. They say each other's fucking names.
Full name.
And it's just, what the fuck?
It then zooms out to show both of the mobile suits in free fall. The Garuda is behind them like a great and mighty bird. And Cat swoops in and up to...
Close to the camera.
Yeah, close to the camera, to give us one last foreground detail of him doing a flyby of the camera as we freeze frame and shift the color palette into nothing but black and orange, mm-hmm. watercolor, and we end the episode.
That was some, I don't know where, I cannot, if you put a gun to my head and told me, asked me to tell you where I said holy shit in a very, like, exasperated voice in that scene, I couldn't tell you, but it was in there, and it was very, it was from the core of my soul.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, when Katz did that and it freeze framed properly, I also was like, oh. That's it.
Gund is like, fucking good.
Also, really gay.
Super gay!
Super gay. Oh my god.
I was like,
those two boys are gonna fucking kiss.
And it's gonna end the fucking world. It's too powerful. I'm so excited for the next episode.
I know in my heart, or excuse me, I know in my head that the next episode is not immediately smash cutting to Char and Amuro smashing, but
it's a Katz episode.
Yeah, but in my heart, I know that's what happens.
Oh god.
By my heart, like, I mean my headcanon.
I'm like getting excited talking about it again. This was maybe my best Gundam moment. Because they're free-falling through the fucking sky.
It's a level of stupidity over the top and overshadowed by the actual moment. I can't believe they get away with it.
Somehow, them making eye contact for the first time made me forget that they were free-falling through fucking sky.
Interestingly, probably what they also thought. Same problem. The problem happened to them, too. At least, like, the only reason I can think of this being minutely okay is if the updraft of small hole falling downwards would push Char and Camille back into their suits if they slipped. I don't know if that would happen, but it might. And so I'm not like, Tomino, Osha, you gotta think about it. But nonetheless, Osha, they could have died in this beautifully romantic moment. That's why Amuro and Char adopt Camille and move to Brazil.
Yep.
After first solving all the world problems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, they would move to Space Brazil because they all hate the Earth.
Right.
Living on it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need a moment to, like, relax a sec. We smoke a cigarette and kind of turn over. We just went through a lot of emotions with that.
This has been fucking wild.
It's so much.
I did not know.
I wasn't emotionally prepared for the end of that episode at all.
They did quite a bit of, like, foreshadowing about other war stuff, and I was like, oh, this is good. I'm good with this.
Yeah.
And then they brought out the main course. I'm like, that was just
an appetizer.
Oh. What happens next time, Fuzzy?
Next time, Katz pulls a protagonist and we have a four known badasses of various ages, and one of them is hopping in a fucking Red Baron biplane. Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, that's literally all I got from the next time on. I was still coming down at the time. Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom Zeta, Katz is sortie. You will see the tears of time.
Oh, I can't help but believe.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 59 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage or that you actually like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod. Become a patron at patreon.com/MobileSuitFandom, or you can email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows, legally, for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember. Rest in peace, Ryu Jose. You died for plot reasons and because you didn't have thick enough new type, I mean plot armor. Seriously, it's the same thing. The same, they pull the exact same move, but Amuro lives.